of all up here. And so thank you so much, Pam, for doing that. I want to invite you into a New Testament reading. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start somewhat in the middle of it, starting at verse 13 and continue through verse 26. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that version. But it is Galatians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we do thank you for your words that you speak into our midst. And we ask, O God, that as our hearts come together on this day, that you will be in the midst of our hearts. That as we meditate upon your words, Lord, that you may give us ears that we may hear you, that you may give us eyes, Lord, so that we may see those very things that you are calling us to see. And Lord, I thank you for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray and ask that as I preach this morning, that the words that I share, that they will be pleasing, that they will be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. Several years ago, I remember a man that I got to know pretty well, who had served in combat during the Vietnam War. We were working in a food pantry together, and we were talking, and I was asking him about his service. I was asking him about, you know, his time and how long he was there, where he was at, some of the things that he experienced, and he looked at me. One of the things about being together, and I don't know if you've worked in a food pantry before or not, but one of the things about being in a food pantry is just not much room, and it's pretty close. And he looked at me in the eye, and I don't know if you've ever had this, but, you know, kind of a smaller room, someone looks at you right in the eye, and he says, you want to know what it was like when it got bad. I'm sure I put... shifted my eyes to the ground as fast as I could, but really, that's what I wanted to know. That's really what I was asking about. He told me, he says, you know, I went to a United Methodist church. He said, before I was drafted, I was in a United Methodist church, and he said, that was a church that still met on a Sunday evening. There were still Sunday night worship services that would meet. And he said that I knew this. I knew that on Sunday night, when my United Methodist church was meeting, he said, I knew on the altar, on the sacrament table, he said, I knew that they were going to light a candle for me. And not only were they going to light a candle for me, but there were other people that were from that church, and they were serving. And they were in the military, they were around the world, some in Vietnam, others there. And he said what they would do is that every Sunday night, they would light a candle. And he said, I knew that they would say my name in prayer. I knew they would light a candle. And he said that when it got bad, He said, when I was facing the worst, he said, I knew if I could just make it, if I could just make it to the next Sunday night, that my church was going to be calling my name and they were going to be praying for me. And so what Don was saying at the end of our slideshow, I am struck. I'm struck by the amount of service that we see right here, just in our church and as well as the community that surrounds us. And it still surprises me. When I see that slideshow, it still surprises me every time I see it to see, well, the kind of service and the kind of honor, the kind of dedication that we see and oftentimes take for granted just right in front of our own congregation. Because, you know, our world can get really complicated. In fact, our world can get extraordinarily complicated with service and honor being debated as they are right now in the midst of government shutdowns. Even division can be manufactured to split neighborhoods and communities in ways that seem impossible. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in communities in the churches that I was serving before. And as much as we can come together and as much as we can hold on to that song that reminds us to turn our eyes toward Jesus, and as much as we can look at our own sacrament table this morning and focus on the light of Jesus Christ, we can even go to war with each other. And it can happen at places like Grace Point too. For the Apostle Paul, going back into the first century Mediterranean world, his world was not any less complicated. The desires of the flesh were on full display. Less than 100 years after the resurrection of Jesus, in fact, after the death, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus that we know by heart, there was strife, there was jealousy, there was anger, there were quarrels, there were dissensions, there were factions that were developing, envy that could be seen in the lives of Christians just as much as it could be seen in the lives of everyone else. If you read even a very quick glance throughout the letters of the Apostle Paul, you will see this. This is one of those things that the Apostle Paul will point out over and over, not only in his letter to the Galatians, but you will see it in his letters to the Corinthians. You will even see it in his letters to the Colossians as well as the Ephesians. At the same time, the fruit of the Spirit can be seen by those very same Christians. Again, Paul will at times labor over that and point that out. Things like love and joy and peace and patience. The fruit of the Spirit like kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so it is the Apostle Paul led by the Holy Spirit. And in fact, not only led by the Holy Spirit, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is what led the Apostle Paul to see those complications playing out in his world, to which he writes, well, what we have this morning as our text that we're committing ourselves to. You see, again, led by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul begins to see that behind the uniforms, behind the robes and the stoles, beyond our own altars, beyond our own candles, that every single one of us are capable of satisfying the desires of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, often in the same week, often on the same day, sometimes even in the very same hour, we can give in to the desires of the flesh and then exhibit the fruit of the Spirit almost with no contradiction in our own selves. And again, beyond altar tables and candles, beyond robes and stoles, beyond uniforms, Paul was able to see oftentimes what Jesus was encouraging all of us to see. It's why there has to be something beyond our altars, something beyond our robes, something beyond our uniforms, something beyond what, well, the rest of the world sees day in and day out. This is where the Apostle Paul comes and says there has to be freedom. For you were called to freedom. The Apostle Paul says, that's our reading from this morning, from the fifth chapter of the Galatians. For you were called to freedom, he says. But only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. As you see, this is where we get stuck far too often. This is where we get caught up and entangled far too often, where the desires of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit become embroiled in a battle that happens, well, right inside of us again, no matter what uniform or what robe we wear. For you were called to freedom, the Apostle Paul says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become enslaved to one another. So that through love, we become enslaved to one another. And so maybe, just maybe, if we do this, if we become enslaved to one another, maybe, just maybe, if we do this, if we begin to practice this, if we teach other people how to practice this, that maybe, just maybe, our world gets a little less complicated. Maybe it happens. Maybe we all of a sudden find ourselves caught up, enslaved to one another here at Grace Point because it happens around the table at lunch. Like when we met last week, we had lunch together. Maybe it happens on a Sunday night campfire when we hope that the wind holds off just a little bit longer so we don't get blown away. Maybe we live in freedom around dinner on a Wednesday night. Maybe, just maybe, that's what begins to make our world less complicated. Or maybe it's a women's ministry. A women's ministry that has enough vision, has enough foresight, has been led by the Holy Spirit to say that we're going to gather. We're going to come together, and we're going to gather on a Thursday night. In fact, it is a plan to gather on a Thursday night. It's going to be on November the 13th. They're going to meet at 6 o'clock to paint and decorate wooden Christmas tree toppers for residents at Covenant Place. And then moving beyond painting those Christmas tree toppers, then planning again with the gift of the Holy Spirit, with enough foresight to say that on December 8th, we're going to deliver those same Christmas tree table toppers. This is how the world gets less complicated. This is exactly how the world gets less complicated. This is exactly how neighborhoods end division. This is exactly how honor and service begin to emerge from places just like this. This is how the world becomes less complicated, and this is how we use our freedom. When we spread the fruit of the Spirit, when love and joy and patience, when kindness, generosity, faithfulness, when self-control goes well beyond our own altar tables, our own uniforms, our own robes and stoles, and begins to spread out into the world. This is the freedom that Christ has called us to in each and every one of our hearts. For you were, as the Apostle Paul would remind us, well past the first century world and coming into our world. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that you have extended to us. We thank you, O God, that in the midst of complications, in the midst of strife, in the midst of division, in the midst of envy and callousness, we thank you that there is freedom that comes in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And may that fruit be evidence in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own souls. And may, Lord, it be evidence of the many opportunities that you give us that go well beyond our own sacrament table, that extend well beyond our own uniforms and our own clothes. And may, Lord, that fruit be witnessed, O God, throughout our neighborhoods, throughout our communities. Lord, let us live in the freedom of Christ. And let us truly, O God, be enslaved to one another in love. And may we, O God, as your people, may we love our neighbors as ourselves. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.